I got the thumbs up. Good to see everybody this wonderful morning. Those of you that are in town, I know a lot of folks are out of town, but if you are in here from out of town, it's good to have you. Just welcome home, glad to have you. Looking forward to just enjoying this worship service even more together and appreciate the worship team coming out. I love just the acapella, just the old school singing the songs, man. That's encouraging. Encouraging to see the Care Meters crew up here. I love it. It's just real family stuff right there. And I felt like that was just like very meaningful to me, just to see just family in action. And, you know, I've been in the ministry here for, I moved here in 2007, Christy and I, with our kids. This isn't my first Christmas message. I've been here, 16 years, 17 years? I've probably given up all my good insights on the, there's only a couple chapters that I have to, you know, really go through. And I was a minister 10 years before I came here. And so every Christmas time, I don't have a lot of material to work from. It's the same material every year, you know? And I go, man, am I going to say anything new or different this Christmas than I've said in the years past? And then something occurred to me. I'm getting old and I've forgotten what I've said in the past. And it's an amazing feeling. It just kind of freed me up. Like, you know what? I don't care if I said this stuff before or not. I feel great. My conscience is clear. It's so encouraging to me. Amen. But I was encouraged last week. If you were here, we had the, wow, it was a production, right? Of just a choir we had. But we had that play, you know, that was just a, it was meaningful to me. You know, Chris and Marie just gave their hearts, you know, and it was really encouraging to see, kind of trying to get that earthy feeling, like what they were really feeling. And so this time around, when I was reading these same passages in Luke, I was drawn to another, I was drawn to John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I thought that, you know what, the more I read, I said there's like 61 sermons just within these first couple chapters. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go old school, no slides, and we're going to read the Bible. And you know what? If I might even ask you a question or something. You just might have to just blurt it out from where you are, right? And we're not going to do the roving microphone. This is like family style. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Amen, Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elijah, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. And I felt like right there, to me, I go, there's a lot in those last couple verses. First of all, upright in the sight of God, good or bad? Observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, good or bad? I mean, wow. That's saying something. But notice the context that they were living upright lives. How old are they? Are they young or old? In that day and age, you know, you get married in your, you know, you kind of your early teens. That wasn't abnormal. You know, they could have gotten married. Let's just pick an easy number, 15, 16, 17. Let's just say they got married somewhere in there. So you get 15, 16, 17, and you're expecting to have kids. And 10 years go by and no kids. But the Bible says that they were upright and they observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. 20 years go by, they're in their late 30s, maybe something like that, no kids. And the people are looking at them side-eyed and going, you know, maybe, you know, Elizabeth, she just, God didn't bless her. It must be some sin in her life or his life. And you got to go through every day of your life feeling that shame and that disgrace. They're well along in years by the time, you know, this moment is happening. So they've been married maybe 30, 40, 50. I don't know how many years. We don't get the exact date. But you get the picture. But what is the beauty of it? Even when you don't get what you want, you can still live blamelessly before God. You can still orient your life to where God is at the center. That to me is a sermon right there. To still be upright, to still show up to church and give your heart, so to speak, even when you don't get what you want. And in verse 8, once Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Zechariah's inside. He's in the temple. Is there a more spiritual place to be? Right? Place where God and man meet. He's a priest. He's doing his job. The incense represent the prayers. This is all amazing. This is probably the only time he ever did in his whole life. And then in verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. And one of the places I read said, acute emotional distress. That's what he was feeling. Wow, my Bible broke. At least I'm reading it. Y'all know I'm reading my Bible. I might be cheap, but I'm reading my Bible. Duct tape. There you go. I don't know if that's an omen or something, but amen. I'm just going to keep rolling. Amen. So the angel says to my man, he's scared. He's in the temple. He's not expecting this, right? And let's see what the angel says to him. Let's see if this is good or bad, right? First thing, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Good or bad? Good. That's good on a lot of levels. First of all, the dude knows, he knows your name. Wow. And the prayers have been heard. Wow. How many of us have ever prayed and wondered if God hears them? Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name, given the name John. Good or bad? That's good. You know, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. I mean, that's good news. He's never to take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Wow, I mean, this is amazing news. Many of the people of Israel, he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, like a spiritual giant to them, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. All of this is good news. So Zechariah, with this amazing news, says, how can I be sure of this? Because I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. And so what I feel like is important to really glean from this part of the passage is one, you might be going about your everyday life, as Tony and Leslie talked about earlier. Life is normal, right? Ordinary everyday life. Here's a priest doing what he's supposed to do, and God showed up, right? God shows up in our ordinary lives, and we need to actually be reminded of that. But here's the deal. What kind of hearts do we have when God shows up? What is our response? And here's the reality. This guy's a priest, all right? If there's one person or type of person on the planet that's supposed to be able to recognize when God shows up, it's a priest. And where is the priest right now? In the temple, praying. I mean, my goodness, if you can't expect God to show up then, what is wrong? So I think we got to, don't just go through the religious motions with your life. Go through life, but expect God to show up. It may not be in the form of a person saying, I've been sent to you. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, don't just go about your life and you claim to be a Christian, then that means you are expecting God to show up. But there's something about this priest who's supposed to be ready. He wasn't ready, right? And he doesn't believe. I mean, Gabriel said, bro, you didn't believe what I'm saying, you know? So you're going to have to shut up. You're going to be quiet. You ain't going to be able to speak until this happens, because it's going to happen. God's going to come through and you're going to see. And I think that's part of this Christmas time of year, to realize God wants people to be ready, because he's going to show up. And are you going to be ready? In the Christmas story, we go, amen, he showed up that first time as a baby. Amen. But he's coming again. Amen. But will you be ready? Or is this all fanciful stuff in the Bible? These are real people living real lives, right? And so, you know, we can jump to verse 23. When the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. A God who silences a priest and shows favor to a barren woman. That's the God we serve, right? That is the God we serve. It's not about status. And you know what else I appreciate about Elizabeth? Because she's real. It's not like, oh, everything's great. It's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm grateful for this. But man, I've lived a life with shame and disgrace. And I can name it. She can name it as she praises God. And I think that to me is real. You know what? Because some of us get a little bitter with God. Man, I've been serving upright, blameless. I show up every week. I do what you ask. And I have to suffer this disgrace. I got to have this hole in my heart and in my soul. I have discontent. There's stuff I want in life and I'm not getting it. But I'm one of yours. And I show up and I do this. And you don't provide. I mean, that can be a lot of people. But I appreciate Elizabeth. She said, I'm going to name that I have suffered this, but I'm still going to praise you. Can we praise? See, that's what keeps us ready. It's the praising of God. It's the acknowledgement of God, even in the ordinary and even in the struggles and the disgrace and the shame. If you can name who God is and still offer him praise, that's how you're ready. That's how you show you're ready for who God is and what he's going to do in this world. In verse 26, we're going to keep rolling. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. You know, I was wondering if Gabriel was with God, and God's like, Gabriel, I got to send you back. I got to send you to this other couple. And I bet you Gabriel's like, look, man, don't send me to the dude, because the dudes, they hard-headed, all right? Can you let me talk to the girl first this time, you know? I don't know if that's the way it went down, but amen, you know. So the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary's greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Sound familiar? He told the same thing to Zechariah. Mary, you have found favor with God. Is that good or bad?
Good.
You will be with child, give birth to a son, right? You're to give him the name Jesus. You might go, well, that's good. Well, as we saw last week, that probably produced some challenges since she wasn't married yet. And she was going to be pregnant before getting married. You will be with child, give birth to name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. What in the world? That is a lot to process right there. And Mary, this little teenage girl, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And right now we go, oh man, Gabriel's about to shut her down. He's going to shut her up just like he did Zechariah. Because this is similar to what Zechariah said. But maybe since she's not a priest, younger, maybe Gabriel had a little bit more. But at the end of the day, she didn't have disbelief in what she was saying. Gabriel noticed disbelief in what Zechariah was saying. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For, What does your translation say? Nothing is impossible with God is what mine says. Nothing is impossible with God. And what does Mary say? I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. He would have done that with Zechariah if Zechariah had an answer like that. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Old people having babies, God had already done that. That's why he's probably mad at Zechariah too. Zechariah, open up your Bible. I've been helping old people have babies before. You're supposed to know this. You ever heard of Abraham and Sarah? Come on, man. What about Hannah crying out for a baby? She was barren. She had Samuel. What about Jacob and Rachel? Rachel wanted to have kids. She couldn't, but Leah and all these other people having kids, she's distraught. This was something that had happened, right? But God, nothing's impossible with God. But do you remember that? Because we need to believe that. Even in the ordinary of our lives, we need to believe that anything can happen with God. And that keeps us ready. It keeps us open that God can act. It may not be angels speaking a language you can understand, though. It may not look like that. But you still need to be ready and believe that God, with God, anything is possible. Jump over to Luke 2. Luke 2. In verse 4, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is about as unextraordinary of a birth announcement as you can get. This is ordinary. And this should give you even faith in the Bible, in my opinion. Because why wouldn't the writers of the Bible kind of create a little bit more stuff, you know, about who this Jesus is? But he's coming to be born to this couple. That's just everyday kind of couple. Average Jane, average Joe kind of people. That's how God works. That's how we got to be attentive to how he is. You know, I mean, there came time for the baby to be born, and she gave birth. Wow, okay. You know, that's like when I tell a story, and my wife gets mad at me. Give more details, you know? Like, that's what happened. I don't know. And like Tony mentioned, place him in a manger, right? And there was no room for him at the inn. And I do think we've talked about this before, but this isn't like a hotel. Like, they were trying to go to the hotel, and the hotel said, no vacancy, you know. There's a perfectly good word for an inn, and Luke uses that later with the prodigal, you know, I mean, with the Good Samaritan story, right, or the innkeeper and all that. There's a perfectly good word he uses. That's not what this word is. This word is just a different type of room in a home. So someone offered hospitality to them. Could have been a relative. Since that was Joseph's home, we don't know. But they're unnamed, but some home offered him hospitality. This isn't a hotel, right? Or somebody, there was no room for him at the inn, right? And so they lay him in a feeding trough. Feeding trough. All these songs we sang about God, Lord at his birth and all this, in a feeding trough. Funky smells of animals probably not far away. God decided to come to you and me in that state. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Ordinary people doing their job. Zechariah, priest, doing his job. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, what did he say? Do not be afraid. See, when God show up, we don't need to be afraid. God's people don't need to. You know why? Because we are ready. Amen. We have cultivated a lifestyle to look for God, to be attentive to God, to be open to who he is. Now, if an angel showed up to me, I bet you I would be afraid on some level. But I think we need to remember these stories. Do not be afraid. That keeps coming over and over. What God is doing through Jesus, we don't need to fear that. We don't need to fear that. That's the plan for this broken, jacked up world. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. When the last time we had that? Good news and great joy for all the people. As divided as this place is, my goodness. We need this. This is what it's all about right here. Well, we won't get it without this Jesus. You say, but why ain't he doing nothing right now? Why didn't he just change? Why is war going on in Israel and all this stuff? Why we have a pandemic? Why people get murdered? Why we can't send kids to school? They keep getting shot. If God was really God, why wouldn't he stop all that stuff? Why are you up here just preaching about this peace on earth? Good tidings. I don't see no good tidings. We about to have 2024 up in this country. About to rip us apart. What you talking about? Where Jesus going to be with all of that, Jeff? I said, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, the same Jesus that came in a manger, in a feeding trough, the same Jesus that lived in obscurity, did his job as an ordinary guy, the same Jesus that had to live under Roman oppression, had no freedom like we have freedom. He didn't even have that kind of freedom. Oh, this the Jesus who lived when he got older and got taken out and lynched publicly, unjustly. Oh, that Jesus? Yeah, that's the kind of life he lived. It didn't end up great either. So at some point, we have to decide, is there a plan for all this junk? Is there a plan? Because even Jesus didn't get freed from injustice and murder. So if he didn't, why in the world are we acting like we expect that to happen now? When God came, we killed him, and he allowed it to happen. And it's still going on right now. So you're looking in the wrong place, and you're asking the wrong question. The right question is, this Jesus came once. Do you believe he's coming back to make things right? And he's waiting for the church to actually live out its role so that people can actually be ready and actually make some differences in whatever communities we live in to show a little foretaste of what it can be like. We can be humble too. We can go through ordinary days too. And we can actually believe God will show up. And that helps the world get ready. And you can make a difference at your job, in your neighborhood. My man over here giving ornaments to people that lost their child. That's the light. That's what it looks like. So don't worry about why and God changing. If he changed you, you go out and live his life. And let God deal with all this other stuff. That doesn't absolve you from living for Jesus just because there's jacked up stuff going on in the world. There was good news on that birth. And it never looks great all the time. But if we can just stay the course, expect God to show up and live his life while we got time, that's the best we can do. God will take care of the rest. Don't be like Zechariah, but you know all of this stuff is going on. He'll shut you up. Be like, you know what? I believe that nothing's impossible with God. I don't know what the answer is, but nothing's impossible with God. He's going to figure it out. And I'm going to follow him until I die. Till my last breath. I'm going to follow him. Because ain't nobody giving me a better plan than that. I ain't seen it. I haven't seen it. Are you going to be people ready for when he comes back again? I hope so. My time is up. And the visual I want you to have is Jesus in the manger, which is what? A feeding trough. If that isn't a more appropriate segue to taking the Lord's Supper, I don't know what is. When you think about Jesus in a feeding trough, his body in a feeding trough, and we get to take the Lord's Supper together, take him into our bodies, and remember who he is, how he came, and also that he's coming back. Let's pray. Father, I just pray we can be a people prepared for you to come back. I pray we remember Jesus. I pray we remember this part of Jesus' life this morning that humble birth, the fanfare that was seen by shepherds and teenage parents and that kind of thing. But God, you were at work. We actually believe this happened, God. We don't believe this is a fairy tale. There's a message in here for us. The type of God who you are and the type of response in your people you expect. And I pray that we look at Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. And we want to have the faithful response that with you, nothing is impossible. So we believe that this bread that represents Jesus's body, that we take it into ourselves, that there's something powerful that connects us with each other, connects us with you, and reminds us to trust the story. We thank you for the juice that represents the blood that Jesus unjustly shed in his context. That blood was not dripped on that ground for no reason. Because when we take this into our bodies, we are proclaiming we know what happened, but we also know he will return. We believe this. We eat this. We drink this. We are your people. We are grateful that you came in the flesh to dwell among a broken people. Thank you for loving us like that. And we're going to love you till the day we die. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.